All right, 2 Samuel 14, please. 14 verses 25 to 27, and then we'll read the first 11 verses of the next chapter, please. All right, everybody's got some notes. It will save you a lot of time, so that'd be the point. Pastor Kwok doesn't have any, though, because he didn't take notes himself. All right, let's stand, please. Now, for everybody's information, this morning's sermon was my favorite sermon I have preached in the month of November. Actually, it's one of my favorite sermons I preached this year. It's amazing the responses I got, except out of the folks that evidently do not see themselves. And I realized this week, if you think I'm tired now, I got back on Wednesday. Dave Penetrante picked me up because my buddy Peter, that always picks me up, is still in the Philippines or getting back yesterday or today or something. That was on Wednesday. I did not come in and do Wednesday night Bible study. You say, why not? Pastor Kwok did a much better job than I would have done. The next morning, I had to be up and ready to teach a doctoral class on leadership to five guys working on a doctorate. I'm going to say one thing. It's the only positive thing you've heard me say about myself in a long time, but some of you will miss it. These five guys just could not get over the fact that I understand myself, which probably makes some of you nervous because you don't understand what you're doing. Tonight's going to get rough. The introduction to this thing is the roughest thing you'll ever read in your adult life, because it's on how do you get to treason. Well, treason doesn't wake up one morning. Treason starts with that low-level gossip and criticism. And I heard, you know, it is so common that I think we're so used to ourselves. You ever meet a person that smells bad? Do they know they smell bad? So what do? You go to your wife and say, do I smell bad? Jared, is that what you do? You go to Amy and say, do I smell bad? No, because she'll tell you or what? You just know. All right, we're going to begin. Let's begin in 2 Samuel 14, 25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his what? His handsomeness. He was pulgy. Now, of course, if you have read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel and 1 Kings, you would immediately be what? Yeah, I can see you haven't. You'd be nervous because every time a handsome person's mentioned, let me try to think who some handsome people are. There's this guy named Saul, and then there's this guy named Eliab, which the Lord says, no, 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 don't choose kings because they're tall and handsome. And then when we have the next rebellion, a guy named Adonijah against Solomon, well, he's good looking too. So when you read good-looking in the Bible for a male, okay, he was a good-looking guy. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And this is old English. I don't think anybody pulls their hair. But when he cut his head, it's funny how it's explained. This gets into those images. He was cutting his hair, folks. He wasn't pulling his head. For it was at every year's end that he pulled it, because the hair was heavy on him. Therefore he pulled it. He weighed that the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. There is no agreement how much this weighs, other than if you have to tell people he had a lot of hair, he probably had a lot. He has a good head of hair. Wow. Don't you like his hair? It's interesting to me that some of us are still fixated on how people look. and you're still wondering if you're good looking. Guys, you shouldn't be wondering. Please. I look in the mirror sometimes and it's scary. Verse 27. And unto Absalom there were born three sons and one daughter whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of fair countenance. And of course, named after the sister. Chapter 15. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy, came to the king for judgment, or justice, we could say, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city are you, or are thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man, we'll change this word, appointed of the king to hear thee. The king has not deputized anybody to do this job. Was that true? Well, that was a lie, but it was a nice lie. Verse 4, Absalom said moreover, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, meaning he was the king's son, normally people would respect him. This is something that if you're a white person, raise your hand if you're white so you just recognize, you do not possibly understand what you just read. Because in American culture, we respect whom? Nobody. Doesn't make a difference if you're 80 or if you're 10. Whites in America do respect nobody. You need to get around another culture that does a lot of paying of respect. I went into a few houses over in the Philippines. It's like, it almost wears me out to see how many people do mano to certain people. And in this country, we respect. By the way, the king's son, you didn't just walk by and say, hey, what's up? You had to do something for him. Bow down. But what did he do instead? He put forth his hand and took the person and did what? He reversed the whole process. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment or justice. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass after, and this word, I'm sorry, I do not want to get into techno speak, but this is impossible. It cannot be 40 years. Please tell me why it can't be. David only reigned 40 years. Either this is a misprint or there's something being said that we don't understand. Most people think it's after 4 years. One guy said he thinks it's after 40 days. I don't know. But 40, how does it after David's rule was over? It doesn't even make sense. So somehow there's something wrong here. It's in the Hebrew text that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed into Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. Oh boy. And the king said unto him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, meaning he chose 200 people to go with him. And my guess is, I'll say this just in passing later, he deceived these people. Because what he did was he got I don't know how he did it. He convinced these people that I'm going to do something religious, and he got some key people out of town. So David was kind of left in a tight spot. How do we know this? Because then it says, and they went in their what? And all that means is they didn't understand Absalom's motives. And they knew not anything. This is the beginning of the treason. It is a terrible story. It is a horrible story. But tonight we'll begin with low-level stuff where we live. I recognize, and I don't understand, but I must say this. I don't understand because I can only think like I think. Some of us really don't see ourselves. And folks, everything I preach is about you and I seeing ourselves. And if we can't see ourselves at all and the Holy Spirit doesn't turn a light on, then nothing ever changes. Now, I don't think anybody in this room is into treason, but I have seen treason in churches. I don't think that's a problem we have. But we do have that which leads to treason or can. You say, why? Because we got people here. Yes or no? And anytime you have people, you have that problem. My friend, Dr. Bowder, preached at a certain church in Chicagoland area, whose name will remain unmentioned, that in 10 years ago was the largest church in the Chicagoland area and now is tiny. And it's levels of treason with people. Mm-hmm. And he said on that Sunday morning, they said that the school and the church will be $200,000 behind their scheduled payments at the end of the year. Yes. Oh, by the way, where are all those people that got rid of my friend Brad Smith? All the rebels. I'd like to know. We're going to pray. This won't get personal except the first part because it's very personal. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a profitable night as we consider this issue. It's something we have to consider. How do you get away from this considering this? Some of this is just my analysis, and some of it is Absalom going forward into treason. Help us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go right into your notes, no introduction. Tonight is just straightforward. In your notes, this treason will dominate the next few chapters of the book of 2 Samuel. However, this begins with criticism and gossip, a tool rebels and politicians have long used to promote themselves. So, you know, folks, to learn some of this means you learn how to understand a politician. We just had an election in the state of Illinois. We got a guy that's a man of the people that's going to be our governor. That man of the people, when his father died, was given $1.2 billion. Does that sound like a man of any people you ever met? But we elected him overwhelmingly. I think there's a lot of Absaloms, and I think there's a lot of followers. That's what I think. In your notes, basically, when it comes to gossip and criticism, I'm going to give four basic kinds and then the fifth one, which is the Absalom kind. One or two of these I have talked about in service in the past. First of all, there's what I call the blowing off steam criticism and gossip. I think every person in this room, and when I say every person, I mean the person in your seat and the person in my shoes, does this. I get irritated. Do you ever get irritated? Now, in this room, only one person knows my level of irritation. Unfortunately, he has to get it sometimes. Right, Tim? You don't understand why he drinks as hard as he does. That's the reason. Because he knows when I get irritated, he's getting it. I can't give it to anybody else. So Tim gets it. Yes, and by the way, friend, everybody gets irritated. Everybody gets frustrated. Everybody faces the limitations of a place. Sometimes I'll walk in here and say, there's something that gets under my craw. And you say, is that right? Is that wrong? Is that good or is that bad? I don't know. I will say this. I think it's impossible when things irritate you over time for you not to have to talk to somebody. Now, I don't talk to my wife about this. So I'm going to publicly tell you why. My wife doesn't do well with criticism of people. If she knows what I think about people, she wouldn't like you. I can actually know a person and know they're stupid and still like them. Not everybody. Now, my daughter, she's more like my weird personality. So I think everybody blows off steam. May I say one thing about this and we move on? The only danger for you that were in the teachers in service, which would be Christy and Pam and my wife and Tim and some others, the danger is this. If you work in an organization like Lake County Baptist School, look at me, hey, and the only thing you ever do when you go home is blow off steam, your spouse gets what impression of this place? You know what's funny? They get the impression of this place that even you don't have. Because you get 100% of the place, it's just that 3 or 4% that irritates you. And you get irritated by that 3 or 4%, but that's the only 3 or 4% that you share with your spouse. So your spouse starts thinking, this is the worst place on earth to work. You got to be very careful about blowing off your steam. I recommend this. Guys, if you're a man, get yourself a heavy bag. Pound on a heavy bag. Learn to use martial arts. Kick a heavy bag. It gets rid of a lot of that anxiety that you have. If you don't like that, get some weights. Do something, because it has a way of just getting rid of all that stuff. You ought to listen. I listen to people talk, and I realize we've given people wrong impressions by our own, not even mean, not even sinful. You know, I'm so tired. Every time I come into that class, you know what I'm doing. This teacher's always late. This teacher's always early. All right, stop. Look at me. And if that's all you tell your spouse, that's all they know. And you have ruined your spouse. Number two, I don't know if this is a higher level, but I like it less. Negative personality, criticism, and gossip. Now, folks, I grew up on this stuff, so forgive me. This is a person who was born and weaned on a dill pickle. Louis, did you eat dill pickles as a kid? You probably didn't know what a dill pickle was. I like dill pickles, but I don't want to eat a whole one by itself, all by itself. Or you could say this, if you're a serious negative personality, you drink the pickle juice. You say, Mary, I saw your look. Mary, that's exactly the look that there's people in this room every time I'm around. And by the way, Mary, and the people that are like this do not know they are like this. They are a negative personality. Their personality is just negative. And just think about it. Go home. I like dill pickles. I can't eat a hamburger without a lot of dill pickles. I like dill pickles on, what's that stuff you make, Debbie, from Iowa or something? Yeah, I like dill pickles. I love dill pickles. But dill pickle juice? Some people walk through life unhappy. I have it in your notes. They are never happy and never going to be happy. Is that you? They are never happy and never going to be happy, but they can make everyone else unhappy. They can poison those around them, since they can only see and discuss the 5% negative. And I'm not referring to church, I'm just referring to life. And friend, I want to say this to you. If you have a friend like this, church member, stay away from that person. If you work with someone like that, you might literally have to tell them, that's enough. Because they can take your... Listen, every job you will ever have the rest of your existence. Are there any jobs on earth that are 100% good? There's always that 2 or 3 or 4 or 5%. You get around a little coffee clutch and all you do is whine about this stuff. By the way, there is a group of people, and this is what I call them. They are just negative personalities. And here's how I recognize it. They're never happy. They're never going to be happy. But they make everybody else unhappy. I don't care where you move them, they're going to be unhappy. Oh, they'll be happy the first weekend. But understand, it's the old statement. There is no better than here, because once you get there, there becomes the new here. And then you're looking for there again. You're always looking for something because you're an unhappy person. And there's a whole group of people that are gossips and critics, and that's their whole life. By the way, that's not Absalom's problem either. Number three, small-minded criticism and gossip. You want to know how Pastor Warren knows what a person's like? I listen to them. I cannot even say what I want to say tonight, but it is so obvious for me. By the way, this doesn't come from me. I think Eleanor Roosevelt quoted this, but I don't think it was original with her. She said this, great minds talk about ideas. Do you know what that means? When you're around a person, what do they discuss? Not what they think they discuss, what do they discuss? So look up here, folks. If you could drop in on one of your conversation, what are you talking about? Great minds talk about ideas. It's just that simple. Average minds talk about events. You know, did the Bears win today? Did the Bears win? Did Green Bay win? By the way, average minds talk about what's going on around. Nothing wrong with that, but that's average. Small minds talk about people. And Ralph Warren added the last one to it. I apologize. The smallest minds talk about themselves. Do you ever listen to people talk? Some people walk right into this church. This is what they do. Now, you have just lost somebody in your family, and they, you know what I watched on television last night? And you're like, what is wrong with you? Because their whole existence is their little world, and they just talk about themselves 24 hours a day. And by the way, this very quickly turns into gossip and criticism. Because they can't talk about anything that's important, they just gossip and criticize. And you're going to find this on the job. And if you don't like what I'm going to say next, I don't care. Because next gets tough. I grew up with this nonsense, and I hate it. In your notes, you're going to hear things like this. And by the way, I used to think this just happened at work. No, this happens every place they are. That's not my job. That's not my responsibility. That's not my fault. Why hasn't the pastor or the boss or the person in charge done something about this? Here it is. It is a lifetime, and I mean lifetime. It never ceases. It's a lifetime of criticism of bosses, owners, those who are in charge, or those who are over you. I'll say all of that again. It is a lifetime of criticism of bosses, owners, those in charge, or those over them, or over you. I mean, it makes no difference. We walk into a room and we're thinking, that's not my job. Somebody, why didn't Pastor do that? Now, I don't have to tell you where that comes from. Right from small-mindedness, right from the blue-collar mentality, where everything is somebody else's fault, and all my job is to criticize somebody else. And how does that help a church? Doesn't help at all. By the way, folks, a church, oh, wait a minute, how does it help a family? You know, sometimes you just got to get the job done. Somebody's got to do something. Well, then there's the other kind, the put-down criticism and gossip. Oh, by the way, folks, Absalom was not guilty of any of these four. Absalom's kind of gossip and criticism was of a malicious nature purely. I would say the next one is the closest we come to Absalom. It's the put-down and criticism and gossip. And you know what it is. I can only look good by making you look what? And when you're around people that gossip all the time and criticize all the time, sooner or later you realize they just can't. I can only feel good if I make you look bad. I want you to look at me. When I'm in the Philippines and I hear Noel did a good job at a place, you know what that makes me feel? Happy. When I hear Tim, at least one service, I heard from four or five people, he really preached a good sermon. I don't know about the other services. But one service, I think it was a Sunday morning, everybody, I heard many people say, you did a great job. That makes me feel. If I heard Brian did a good job, I would think a miracle occurred. No, I wouldn't. I had to say that, Brian. By the way, folks, do you think I'm happy when our people succeed? Why do you think I want Brian to go to school? Why do you think I want Cliffy in school? And by the way, if you want to go forward for God and serve in another country, we'll send you off to Central Seminary too. I want everybody in this room to do everything they can for God. It makes me very happy to see people succeeding. But there are people, well, let me ask this. Have you ever seen, oh, I shouldn't do this? It's the good-looking woman with her posse. We used to have one here. The good-looking woman with her four ugly friends. And when she comes to church, she has the four ugly friends with her. Why does she have the four ugly friends? Because it makes her look better. That's a perverted way to live your life, friend. By the way, those are the four basic kinds of criticism and gossip. You say, which one are we most guilty of? The first one, as long as you're blowing off steam to either the Lord and or one or two people that you know that you, it's more than trust, they can deal with you. But friends, that's dangerous only because if you're not careful, you'll blow off steam to your children. But the other three, the negative personality, the person that can never be happy, is never happy, can never be happy, but makes everybody else unhappy, that's just dangerous. Small-mindedness, I can't fix. Because small-minded people are small-minded people. They just spend a lot of time gossiping and criticizing, and they never know they do it because it's just what they do. Put-down criticism is an ugly thing. Look at Proverbs 26:20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? When do the fires stop in California? When there's nothing left to burn. So where there is no talebearer, guess what happens? When you start seeing strife in an environment or in an area, you know there's a gossip in there someplace. It's pretty straightforward. I'll let you read the rest of the verses. The kind of gossip and criticism of Absalom is number five. I think it's different in kind, though I do believe that 2, 3, and 4 could lead here. It's possible. But this would be the criticism and gossip of treason. It is what Absalom became. In your notes, it's what Absalom became this. This morning when I got done preaching, my mind is too foggy. Cliffy, what's your friend's first name, the man?
Jim.
Jim said to me, I've read that passage, I've heard that passage, but I've never made any connections with that passage before, which would be common, because you kind of skip through this because it's not interesting to us. And he said he realized now part of the reason that Absalom becomes a rebel is there's those 5 years, 3 years in Geshur, 2 years in Jerusalem, where all this rage is building up and turning into bitterness. Yes, makes perfect sense. I don't want to blame that just on David. Why did Absalom become a traitor? Primary reason, because he wanted to become a traitor. You can't blame it on everybody else, folks. The Bible doesn't really say the reason Absalom's a traitor is because of David. I think Absalom had it in him. He wanted to be a traitor. So let's look at Absalom. Absalom became this kind of a critic and a gossip. And I say in your notes, this is high level, or maybe a better way of saying this is or a low-level form of gossip. I don't know how you view it. In one sense, it's the highest level of gossip and criticism, the kind that leads to treason, where you're actually being disloyal to people. It's an ugly thing. So here it is. We'll go through this quickly tonight. It is 7 o'clock. In 15 minutes, we will be done, maybe sooner. A, Absalom started with his good looks. Now, I have never had this problem. I'm looking around this room at the men. There might be one or two guys that might have this problem. I'm not one of them. I'm not the ugliest guy in the world, but I never had to think, oh, man, do they want to put me in the 500 hottest guys on planet Earth? It's like, I don't really think that's one of the problems I have to worry about. But Absalom began there. I got a question for you. Hey, we're having treason right back here. Emily and Christy, I can see it happening. They're stirring the pot. I want to ask a question. Did Absalom have a lot of hair? So let's ask the second question. Do you know? How did Absalom die? He got his hair stuck in the tree. By the way, being good looking in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 Kings is not a real good sign. But you know what? Most political debates and conversations become who's the best looking. We live in strange times. By the way, the greatest president in American history from the state of Illinois would never be elected because he's far too ugly. Think about that. Absalom started with his good looks. Look what it says in verse 25. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. Then it talks about all of his good hair. 2 Samuel 18, of course, talks about, yeah, he had good hair. And it doesn't use the phrase. It's idiomatic. It's the way the Hebrew would express the same concept. But basically, he gets his hair caught in an oak tree, and he's taken up between heaven and earth. So here he's hanging, folks, by his hair and head. And he can't get away. And then, of course, they come and kill him after that. Next page of your notes. So who else was good looking? Well, there was Saul. He was, what does it say about old Saul? I think he stood among the people. He was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, see ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. Wow. Then, of course, later, when Samuel is supposed to choose a person to succeed him, in 1 Samuel 16, it says, it came to pass when they were come, he looked upon Eliab and said, and you can hear Samuel doing it, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. I mean, he's tall, he's handsome. That's the context of the next verse. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, meaning how handsome he is, his face. But do what? Don't look on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. By the way, the Lord does see how tall you are, but that doesn't impress him. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. B. Absalom arrived in grand style. So he began with, he started this whole process with how handsome he was. He arrived in grand style. It says that he prepared him chariots, plural, horses, plural, and 50 men. Now, there's something that's unique about this, and this is as far as I'm going with it. This is the first mention in the Bible of a Jewish person having a chariot. The next mention of a Jewish person having a chariot is going to be a guy by the name of Adonijah. And guess what Adonijah's doing? 1 Kings chapter 1. Rebelling against David and Solomon. And guess what else it says about Adonijah? He was good looking. Do people ever learn? The answer would be no. Treasonous person. He arrived in grand style. Man, he had his 50 lackeys. He had his chariots. He's good looking. See, Absalom began early in the morning. This is kind of ironic. It says in chapter 15, verse 2, that he arose up early. So he got there before David did. I think there's a little bit of a slant on David because David was well known for getting up late. And maybe David got up late and Absalom said, I'll get up early and I'll get the kingdom. This is a treasonous kind of gossip and criticism because he's going to take it to the next level. Number or D in your notes. Absalom greeted every one personally and even humbly. He greeted every single person personally and even humbly. Some politicians are good at this. Look at me. Hillary Clinton was not. Hillary is what she is. There's something about her that is, she isn't like this. She's the dragon. And maybe you like her. That's an evil woman. She never did have the ability to look nice to anybody. But there's some politicians can look at you, smile. Where are you from, Lois? Where did you grow up, Lois? Tell me about your home life, Lois. And you're thinking, this person really likes me. Mike, I went over to the Toyota dealership. I can remember over here and met a guy. And when we got a car, that guy wanted to know about me. He wanted to know about my family. He wanted to know everything. I go back in there now to get my car, and he never even looks my direction. I thought he was my friend. By the way, do you understand treason? Oh, where are you from? Tell me about your family. I used to have a guy that would call me, and I'm sorry, my wife is the only one that knows who it is. Every time he called me, he'd always start. It was 10 minutes before he got to what he wanted. He was saying, oh, Brother Ralph, how you doing? How's your wife? How's the church? How's your children? How's the dog? How's the weather? How's the cat? He would go on and on and on. And the whole time I'm thinking, come on, you want something. What do you want? Well, it sounds good. Look what else he does. We've already said this. He greeted everyone personally and even humbly. And that is in verse 5. It says, when any man came nigh to him to do obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. He did not allow the person to bow before him. Instead, he warmly and even humbly, I think he was putting on fake humility. Well, then there's E. Let's read 1 Samuel 15:3 under E and F. Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right. How would you know the matters are good and right? You haven't even asked him what the problem is. Hey, folks, health care, Affordable Health Care Act. The only question I have is affordable for whom? So E is this. Absalom accepted every single case. People had a problem. He just embraced that person. He accepted their case. He not only accepted their case, but he agreed, this is F, he agreed with every single complaint. How do you do that? Well, you're a politician. You're swaying votes. You're rallying the troops. You're getting people on your side. You're telling people what they want to hear. Wow. This is called treason. So here's Absalom. He starts with his good looks. He arrives early. He arrives in grand style. He begins early in the morning. He greeted everyone personally, even humbly. He accepts everyone, every single case, and he agrees with every single complaint. Next, Absalom created a false impression. And friend, right here is where the action is. Please look at me. We're going to read this. If you want to know, please look at me. Where it starts in a church. If you say this church isn't perfect, you're the only lunkhead in the entire world that realizes that. Let me ask you a question. Do you think I'm stupid? Do you think I know the strengths and the weaknesses of this church? Do you know that it's not always easy to fix things? Yes or no? So if you just stop right there with your little gossip, you know, your little small-minded gossip, we're good. But when the game is played, is this step here. When you create something that's false. By the way, no church, no, I'm not even talking about the church tonight because I don't want this to be about church. But you can do it at work, you can do it any place. But I'm thinking, you know, if we think about church, people come up and say, you know, I wish Pastor Warren preached shorter. I could preach shorter. I could preach 30 minutes every service. Would that make you happy? Not a bit. See, the problem is some things don't fix easily. Let's go back to this principle. This is where the treason really, really gets underway, right here. It's G. Absalom created a false impression. Look at verse 3. He says this, and Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right. Here's where the false impression begins. But there is no man deputized, we would say, or appointed of the king to hear thee. That is a flat out what? Yes. Well, there might not be somebody there at 5 in the morning because you got up early so you could head people off so you could sell them your snake oil. Verse 4, and Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were judge in the land, that every person which had any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Man, I can fix everything. You know, when you read the Bible, you get the impression, and the end of Samuel will come across it. David actually was pretty good day to day with the justice in the land. He was a faithful person in that area. He was not good with his children. Horrific. And it all started with what? By the way, when you read the rest of 2 Samuel 15, next Sunday night I want you to answer a question. How many concubines did David have at this time? I want you to answer a question. I know this, he had at least 10 that he left in Jerusalem. I didn't say wives, I said concubines. It's pretty hard to have a good family when you got that much of a mess. And that's what David had. But Absalom creates this false impression that David doesn't care, but if I were the pastor, if I was a deacon, if I was making... I say to every one of you, if you can do a better job than me, step up. Step up. By the way, and if you're at work and you're mouthing off all the time, step up. Become the boss. Shut your small-minded mouth. You say, you're being mean. I said the same thing when I worked in the hospital. I got so tired of the people doing this. If you think you can fix everything, step up. And you know what you find out? Those people that gossip all the time don't want to step up. Just small-minded. Let's continue on. Verse 5, it says this, and it was so that when any man came nigh to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him, and on this manner did Absalom to all of Israel that came to the king for judgment or justice. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Well, H, and I hate this, Absalom added the religious element. Ooh, I hate religion when it's mixed into rebellion and lying. Do I need to read what he said? It came to pass after 40 years, which is probably 4 years, that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servants vowed a vow while I abode in Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. By the way, and what did he immediately do in Hebron? Did he pay a vow? He started a revolt. Look at me, folks. How does a person bring religion into their lives? And he brought the most sacred thing you could do, which is make a vow to God of some variety and tell David, I'm going to go back here and pay this vow, and the whole time you're going to go back to Hebron so you can start a revolt. There's something sick about that. But no sicker than the woman that used to work and come to this place that said, well, I'm moving to Florida. By the way, if you can't put shoes on this, don't read the scripture. I'm moving to Florida because I have a ministry there. Yeah, that ministry was called a male. She wanted to have a boyfriend. But the boyfriend didn't want her, so she's been in 3 or 4 or 5 different locations and jobs in the last 2 or 3 years since she's been there. By the way, I get tired of being lied to. And I especially hate religion. So please don't tell me about the will of God. If you want to do what you want to do, just simply come and say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Drop the religion, Absalom. Well, we conclude where we'll pick up next week. But we'll pick up in a very different vein. Absalom deceived many people. You see, Absalom was pretty good. He was handsome. He had a pretty grand style. Lots of hair. Got up early. He knew how to talk to people, greet them personally and humbly. He accepted every single person and agreed with every single complaint. He creates this false, image of things. He drops in the religion. And look what it says in verse 10. But Absalom sent spies. Instead of going back to Hebron to give a vow, to pay a vow, he sends spies throughout all the tribes of Israel saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, meaning I think that means he invited a select group of people, but they went in their simplicity, meaning they were totally deceived about what was going on. And my guess is this is what he did. He took this group of people, probably important people, took them from Jerusalem to Hebron, another walled city, took them in there and pretty much kept them as captives. They were important people, but that then left David kind of on his own. So the next thing you're going to find is Absalom in total revolt and David running. We are done for this evening. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I don't think